Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools, the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Welcome back to Family by Design. I'm Joel Fisher, and I'm glad that you've taken the time to join us today. We're going to be listening to the conclusion of a message that Gary began last week, talking about the Lord Jesus as our shepherd and the importance of looking to Him as our guide, even as those around us may unintentionally mislead us and disappoint us. Join us now as Gary brings a message that he originally preached back in the springtime of this year, finding the Lord as your shepherd.
I'm just looking for some quiet time. Things have gotten so hectic and busy. I'm just looking for some quiet time. And so in that looking for quiet time, the reality is we've got to resolve the quieting of our physical needs so that we can enter into that place of quietness to get our spiritual needs met, to get our spiritual needs resolved. And so he has two pictures here, green pastures and still waters. And I ask you to remember that King David was a shepherd when he was a youth. So these are probably ideas that he gathered from shepherding and watching his sheep, sort of like the fairgrounds. When you're out in the wilderness and you have no fences for your sheep, the shepherd is the one thing that's recognizable, and it's the safety net, and the sheep would naturally run to that shepherd, follow that shepherd. And so the shepherd's going to take him to green pastures. And probably King David was just reflecting on the sheep when he was a shepherd, that you take this flock to some really green pasture, and what happens is they settle down quickly, because their needs are being met. The other need besides grass is a brook of water. Now, he gives the picture here of still waters, emphasizing still waters versus high-intensive rapids that actually scare sheep, because the thundering of the noise of the water is, we're fearful then, can I actually get a drink? And so there's tension that's there in that process. But as I'm just thinking briefly on that, realizing that there's this picture of the sheep lying down in a green pasture, and having that pasture be alongside a babbling brook. What do you think of when you see somebody lying down? But rest, you know, obviously physical rest, but there's that place for spiritual rest that enters in there. So I'm going to interrupt myself for just a moment. I'm going to give some commentary, a single line. It's on the right-hand column, but if you look at the top of the page, Matthew 7, or you can turn to Matthew 7, verse 7 to 12. When I was a child, I don't remember exactly the full details, but we had a little family club called the Jesus and I Club, and we would try to meet every Sunday. And one of the things that we would do in our family meeting was we'd try to bring forth some sort of encouraging little spiritual devotional. And one time, it was my turn to bring a devotional, and that was always the most terrifying thing, to have to say something and knowing what to say. And so I think I had heard the sermon that morning on this passage. Not ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks shall find, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. And so I presented that as a little devotional, not really knowing all that it meant, but I do remember that was the first Bible passage I ever memorized, because it had a simple logic and sequence and promise of expectation. So I want us to reckon with this little passage as we go along. If the Lord's going to lead me to green pastures and still waters, there's a part that you and I have to understand. If the Lord's going to be my shepherd, I have to ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. And there's that necessity. So what I want to say is that when you have personal need in crisis, it's on purpose. It's creating a necessity in your temporal world of need. And under that pressure from that temporal world of need, there's a counterpoint of necessity that you call on the Lord. You call on your shepherd. And so here's what I want us to understand. Most of us take need and make it a complaint. Most of us take a need and Satan uses it to strike the shepherd. Your dad didn't blank, your mom didn't blank, whatever didn't happen. And so you have need, and Satan loves to take that need and accuse someone else to blame for you having that need. That happens so often. How many times do children leave home with such anger and bitterness? I'm not going to live like that. And they're bitter against. Go to the book of Numbers and follow through. What were the 10 rebellions of Numbers? Every one of them was a failing at the point of need, at the point when they were supposed to ask, knock, seek. At the point that they were to be reaching out to their shepherd, they simply saw the need. Satan turned it into an accusation of fault. The shepherd, Moses, was struck. The Lord himself was spoken evil against. And that's the pattern. And that's what happens in our homes. Now, it's so imperative that we understand that dads and moms, we've got to train our kids to look for and welcome their necessities. Welcome those needs. Welcome those things that are terrifying, because that's the doorway. Remember what Jesus said? You're going to come in and out through the door. I am the door. If you're going to come in and out through me, you're going to find safe pasture. If you try to get out another way, get another way, it's not going to work. And our personal need, our personal trauma, and I like that he just boils it down, food and water. A sense of peace and abode in the atmosphere. That's what we want. That's what we desire. And we can lie down. And so it's imperative that we look to the Lord to provide that need. But now let's look at the next slide. Okay, I'm going to try to connect these best that I can. But green pastures and still waters is what the Lord leads us to. But what we need to understand is there has to be us calling on his name so we'll follow him. We have to follow the Lord to the pastures he's leading us. And as he's leading us, it's not going to look like this is a very good way. We might have to go through rocky crags to get to that green pasture. And if we just measure in the moment by the rocky crag, we might whisper to the other sheep, "Does he know what he's doing? This is no green pasture to me." Not that sheep have rebellion, thank God, like that. But that's the manner of struggle that you and I have. So when we find this place of green pasture and gently flowing water, then we find that place of repose. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, it's sufficient to accept the scripture as it is, as its word. But we need to understand In order to restore, you have to be de-stored. You're always wondering about my vocabulary, Joel. I know you're from the West Coast. If the store has first depleted, that's what de-store means. If the store is depleted, that's the condition in which it can be restored. And so I want us to take the simple truth of Scripture here and understand it very practically. And children, by God's grace, I hope that you can just hear the simplicity of this in your heart. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, what we have to understand is it's the shepherd that I have confidence in. And I have confidence that the shepherd is going to lead me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So when I'm trusting the shepherd and He's taking me down a rocky crag, I'm going to trust the shepherd because His name is attached to it. And I'm going to tell myself a little message. This is a path that God is going to use to make me more righteous. I want that. And though it's hard and difficult, I know it's got a good end. Well, you know, when you have that approach, that's an approach of worship. That's an approach of thanks. Go back to Romans 1 and you recognize that's the place of departure. How Satan gets us off track. We don't give God glory. We don't give Him thanks. He talks us into a different plan. We serve and worship the creature more than the Creator. And that's the battle. And so my relationship to the shepherd is such that this green pasture, this still water is at the end of a path. But the path is one that depletes me. So that grass is going to be restorative. And I'm going to be comforted. I'm going to be encouraged. And it's necessary that we get to the place of depletion. That's where striking the shepherd occurs, where we then learn to hear the voice of the shepherd and we follow. And we go down that path without fear, all alone, nobody else going with us. But it's certain and it's secure. Please bear with me for a minute. If you could just turn real quickly in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12. And I know I go to Hebrews 12 a lot. And I'm just going to really quickly read it. Not take forever. Here's what it means for you and I to declare the Lord is our shepherd. Beginning at verse 2. Well, I'll just start with verse 1. Wherefore, we can look about us and see that we're encompassed about by a great cloud of witnesses. Others, chapter 11, who've gone ahead in faith, trusting the shepherd in their circumstance, and having that purpose of God and that righteousness of God secured in their life. So all that's lying around us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily besets us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, just so we can understand the reading, the weight and sin that easily besets us is what? It's the place our comfort is taken. And we're at risk of losing something of that comfort under the banner of losing our life. You know, there's something threatening us or something terrifying us. And that's our besetting sin across the board. If I'm afraid, my chances are higher that I'm going to run away, not trust the shepherd. But as those who have called on the shepherd hear the voice of the shepherd, when I am afraid, that's the trigger. I will trust in Him. Continue reading then. Let us look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him, what was the joy? The green pasture, the still waters, who for the joy set before Him endured that rocky crag of a path, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne on high. We must pass through the valley of the shadow in order to realize the security of that comfort that He has for us. So, apply. Verse 3. Consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Okay? Stop. Wow, what a statement. The scripture's telling me my natural man gets tired and weary of hardship and difficulty and maltreatment and threats against my security constantly. My natural man gets weary of that. And he says, consider. Look at Jesus. He went through it. He went through it higher and deeper than we'll ever go through, lest we become wearied. Then he says, verse 4, you've not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Wow, what a testimony. God knows. We don't give up our life very quickly. Verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you're rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he scourges and chastens every son he receives. Okay. Scourging. That sounds pretty bad. Chastening. That sounds like painful discipline. But context. The Lord is my shepherd. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Now, you've probably all heard the little story back in the days of David's time. Your staff had a crook in it. And it was used for a lot of things, but it was a sharp crook so that you could catch a sheep and pull them, and when you're having a hard time catching them or what have you, or pull them off a cliff. But you would also, if you had a little lamb that wasn't following very well, you'd break their leg with the staff so they couldn't run away. And that was a comfort, because that was a preservation for the lamb's sake. Verse 7, and here's that picture back. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he that he doesn't chasten? Skipping over verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them who are exercised by it. Wherefore, here's the application. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight the paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. That's the picture. That's the snapshot. We have to pass through with our understanding of the Lord being our shepherd, and our understanding, he's the one leading me in paths of righteousness. Jump back to verse 10 for just a quick second, where we see our fathers chasing us after their own pleasure for a few days, but he, meaning God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Paths of righteousness require the disciplines of holiness. And the disciplines of holiness simply mean, parents, your children have to be pressed to the point of terrifying sorrow and fear. They have to be pressed. It is at those places that they're terrified that they will learn to call on the shepherd and to trust him. And if you think that you're going to help your children understand the gospel and believe, and you constantly shield them from ever entering a place where they have to face the lions, as it were, you're harming your kids. You're robbing them of the potential for a personal relationship, because you're not allowing them to need a shepherd, the only shepherd that can save their eternal soul. I dare say this mechanism, him leading us in the paths of righteousness for our home, that's far more important than if we have this little repetition of an exact proscription of what the gospel is, and we say that to our kids and we make sure they understand it. And so we get to this place through the path where he restores my soul. And he kind of builds on that from there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's where being a sheep under the great shepherd is tested for its reality. I walk through the shadow of the valley, and I fear no evil. If God, who is my shepherd, if God, who has led me in the way of righteousness, God, who has provided the green pastures and the still water, if that God is my God, if he's my shepherd, then I'm not afraid. What if I do die? Think of it. Actually, practically, what if you do die? You can rest because your life has reached the fullness of its course. God will take care of and resolve whatever else you're concerned about that may have need. You can rest in that shepherd. And the reason that we can rest is because you are with me. And I think that we need to understand, as it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I got ahead of myself a little bit when I went to Hebrews 12, but we're running out of time. But I want us to understand, can you pay attention to the presence of the Lord? My life was transformed. I know I've said this so many times. But my life was transformed as a young believer when I suddenly realized to treasure the trouble God brought my way. And when I saw a coming trial or difficulty, to realize, oh, God's rod and his staff is there, and I'm comforted. God's on the move. He's working something in my life. And I receive it as a son, knowing my shepherd / father loves me. I don't have any doubt. And so I get comfort in the difficulty. And that's how we're supposed to train ourselves. James 1 says, brothers, count it all joy when you fall into many different kinds of temptations. Count it all joy. That's the response of me paying attention and thinking and watching and recognizing the Lord is my shepherd. And I just simply want to say this. It doesn't happen without the difficulty presenting itself squarely to you, whoever you are. And that difficulty being the means by which you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, please help. God will do really unusual things for you. Call on his name and trust him, and let him be your shepherd. Let him guide you down that path of righteousness. The worst possible thing that could happen is that you die. But you'll die not being afraid, because the presence of the Lord will be with you. And you'll be entering into his glory forever. Back on the little sheet, there's two verses at the top that I read part one. I just want to close with this thought as we think about the necessity that you and I must make the Lord our shepherd. What man is there of you, if a son asks bread, and he will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who's in heaven give good things to those that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would men do to you, even do so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. What an interesting, provocative thought. There's a similar passage in Luke. And the good thing that Jesus was speaking of, he explains in Luke, was the Holy Spirit. God is not giving us the trauma and the terror of the threat of losing our life. He's not giving us that just as a torment. He's giving us that as a doorway so that we can learn to ask and to seek and to call. That's the call. We're supposed to ask. Call on the Lord. And I dare say, if the Holy Spirit would grant you to hear the first complaint that comes out of your mouth and to catch it and to remember, that's one of God's gifts to me, so I can learn to trust Him. And to take that very thing and come to this Father who will chastise you to the point of death so that you'll learn to call on Him as someone who's trusting in a loving Father, knowing He only gives good gifts. He leads you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. There it is. Trouble will hound you because God loves you. Fact of the matter is, if you don't have trouble, Scripture says you're not His. The mark of a Christian is trouble. What's it, Psalm 72? The guy says, you know, hey, and I almost slipped. I looked around myself in the land of the living and I said, you know, how come the wicked are so blessed? And he said, I almost slipped until I looked at the end where these paths of righteousness converge in that peaceful grass-filled plain along a babbling brook, being comforted out of that which I have been so afraid. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask that You would give us, as Your people, a sensitivity, an attentiveness of knowing, understanding that You are a shepherd that we must call on, but that we can totally trust. And I pray that as for our own lives and for individuals and our families, that we wouldn't look away from trial and difficulty as if to avoid it and prevent it, but that we would trust You, that You'll lead us along the path of righteousness. And if we have trouble on that path, we can be comforted, we can be confident. It's trouble You've designed for our good. And I pray for our children, Lord, that they would take their very large disappointments as children, and with parents having wisdom to guide them, that they would recognize that these difficulties are the place where they call on Your name and find You to also be their good shepherd. Pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, that concludes the message that was begun last week, and we hope that you were able to hear that message. If you didn't, you can always hear it at WTHU.org. Go to the audio vault and find the Family by Design link. You can find all our past episodes there for your listening enjoyment. If you have questions about what you've heard today or suggestions for what we might talk about on future broadcasts, or even anything that we might be able to pray for you for, go ahead and send us an email, radio@wcfs.edu. We'd love to hear from you. Be sure to check out Walkersville Christian Family School online at www.wcfs.edu. And consider joining us for church on Sunday at WCFS Church. We're glad that you've taken the time to spend with us today. Come and join us again next week as we continue to treasure God's design right here for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift the Father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass Him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving, the grace.